From NPR News, it's All Things Considered. I'm Alyssa Block.
And I'm Robert Siegel. The actress Rebecca Hall plays an English trial lawyer, a barrister, in the new spy thriller Closed Circuit. Hall's character is the special advocate appointed to represent a terror bombing suspect in a secret hearing. One wrinkle, in addition to the complete perfidy of nearly all institutions concerned, and the fact that barristers and reporters are equally at risk of not reaching the end of this movie alive, one wrinkle is that the barrister appointed to represent the alleged terrorist in his public trial is her former lover. They are barred by arcane British terror trial procedure from communicating, which turns a conversation over lunch into a frosty exchange mediated by the defendant's third lawyer, his solicitor.
Until the actual delivery of the closed material, I am permitted to communicate with Mr. Rhodes. Whether or not I choose to do so is another matter.
Now, as I'm beginning to understand.
So would you please inform this gentleman that I am here to see Mr. Devlin?
You may recall Rebecca Hall as Vicky in Vicky Cristina Barcelona. She was in The Town and Lay the Favorite, and she joins us from New York. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. Good to be here.
First, these rules of British security services, secret evidence, and special advocates, did Shakespeare write them just for the dramatic possibilities?
Well, no. I think you'll find that these procedures have only come into play in light of recent events. And since they generally pertain to trials relating to national security, it's only a recent occurrence. Otherwise, I think we'd all be up in arms a little bit earlier.
When you prepared for this part, was there something about barristers that you figured out and that made your character, Claudia Simmons Howe, more accessible to you?
Yes, I think it's fairly obvious, but and not wanting to make vast sweeping generalizations, mm-hmm. but I think on the whole, they tend to be people that exist in their heads and are very analytical. I didn't meet a single barrister or lawyer while I was researching the film that didn't speak in complete and full, very well thought out, precise sentences. And I thought that was fascinating, being generally a sort of bumbling, inarticulate mess myself.
So, but you found a very special kind of analytic intelligence common to the
lawyers. Yeah, I did. I did. Which is definitely interesting dramatically when you're playing a character who has all of that facility in their professional life and has no capacity to express their own emotions. So there was an irony there.
Some biography is in order here. You're 31 years old, yes?
Yeah, indeed I am.
Your father, Sir Peter Hall, is one of Britain's great stage directors and founder of the Royal Shakespeare Company.
Mm-hmm.
And your mother, Maria Ewing, is a singer, an opera singer, and an American. I want you to talk a little bit about her and her influence on you.
She is American, indeed. She's from Michigan, and I have family in Michigan still. She's truly has always been and will continue to be an inspiration to me. She's part of her skill as an artist was that not only does she have an extraordinary singing voice that sort of came from nowhere with very little training, but she also was a very great actress. And I grew up watching her. I think she was performing one of her most well-known productions, Salome, from when I was about 5 until I was about 14.
Was this the production in which she disrobed as Salome?
It is indeed.
Did that strike you at age 5 as anything unusual, or is it just mom out there?
Well, I suppose it's No, I don't think I was nearly sophisticated enough to realize it was unusual. I think you just sort of accept things when you're that age. I think I realized in hindsight that it was rather brave and brilliant of her, and as she argued at the time, far less vulgar to wear nothing than to wear a little something.
That was her comment at the time.
Yeah.
You've also acted under the direction of your father, Sir Peter Hall, and I gather that you left Cambridge with a year to go to work with him. Was leaving university early tough or a no-brainer? How would you describe that move?
Oh, of course it was tough. That was sort of the point of doing it. It was one of those moments that I thought would define how I behaved for the rest of my life, if I could sort of buck a trajectory and not be the sort of person who had this very linear journey of good grades at school and then a degree from Cambridge to tell everyone that I was smart. There was some sort of rebellious instinct in me to not have that and make a bold decision so that I knew that I could make bold decisions for the rest of my life. Not to have anything to fall back on, I think, was the logic.
You had to erase the plan B before it even became possible.
If you're going to commit to something crazy, you've got to commit to it.
Well, I guess it worked. I mean, you've been acting on stage and in movies ever since, yeah.
Yeah, so far so good. And, you know, if Cambridge will accept me back to be an academic if it all goes wrong, here's hoping.
I read one newspaper article about you. It was actually in The Independent, which is meaningful. It referred to you as Indie Girl,
mm-hmm.
which I guess if your paper is called The Independent, you can't think that's bad. The point is all about you're moving into mainstream Hollywood movies more. A conscious decision on your part or a conscious decision on the part of people who do casting? How would you describe this phase of your acting life?
It's conscious and it's not conscious. I think there were opportunities for me to do more mainstream things earlier on, and I chose not to because they weren't things that I wanted to do. And then I suppose I got to a point of thinking, well, you know, I'd like to have as diverse and varied a career as I'm allowed to have. But you also have to bear in mind that it's not like I have a pick of every role out there. It's sort of you are picking from what other people want you to do a lot of the time.
I want to return to the subject matter of Closed Circuit, which is a very entertaining thriller and which is a genre of political deep state thriller that for me is epitomized by 3 Days of the Condor, which I thought was
absolutely
a great movie.
Yes.
The plots of these movies typically work the turf somewhere between reasonable fear of the surveillance state and entertaining paranoia. And, you know, I was thinking the newspaper reporters, the very dedicated newspaper reporters I've known who've died on the job, have died because they went to some war zone where they put themselves at risk. They weren't killed by the FBI, you know, or CIA. Is there some risk here of going over the top?
Yes, absolutely. I wouldn't call it a risk, though. I think it's a sort of necessary hypothetical extreme so that we can negotiate what the possibilities are in their worst form and have that discussion.
That this is the willing suspension of disbelief that will go a little bit beyond.
Oh, yeah. And you need that. I mean, that's part of, you know, any healthy art form sort of raises questions. And I think you have to go the extra mile to get that kind of reaction.
On the other hand, when a movie like this comes out and the Snowden affair is in full bloom, there's a tendency to take advantage of whatever is in the news and say, yeah, this is a gloss on this real life issue that we face.
I wouldn't entirely agree with you there. I think that it's any responsible art form's duty to help us think about how we live. And if we were to not tackle these issues in narratives and stories, you know, we wouldn't necessarily see the dangers and the problems and be able to think about them.
Rebecca Hall, thank you very much for talking with us today.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure. Big fan of your show.
Right. Rebecca Hall was talking about her new film, Closed Circuit, and other topics. You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.